Chapter 161. Not a smoker, I think. Apostrophe apostrophe said Rider Hood, pushing a bottle to him across the table. No. Apostrophe, they both lapsed into silence, with their eyes upon the fire. You don't need to be told I am here, apostrophe said Bradley at length. Who is to begin? Apostrophe apostrophe, I'll begin, apostrophe said Rider Hood. When I've smoked this here pipe out. Apostrophe, he finished it with great deliberation, knocked out the ashes on the hob, and put it by. I'll begin, apostrophe he then repeated. Bradley Headstone, master, if you wish it. Apostrophe, wish it? I wish to know what you want with me. Apostrophe, and so you shall. Apostrophe Rider Hood had looked hard at his hands and his pockets, apparently as a precautionary measure lest he should have any weapon about him. But, he now leaned forward, turning the collar of his waistcoat with an inquisitive finger, and asked, why, where's your watch? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have left it behind. Apostrophe, I want it. But it can be fetched. I've took a fancy to it. Apostrophe, Bradley answered with a contemptuous laugh. I want it, apostrophe repeated Rider Hood, in a louder voice, and I mean to have it. Apostrophe, that is what you want of me, is it? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Rider Hood, still louder, it's only part of what I want of you. I want money of you. Apostrophe, anything else? Apostrophe apostrophe, everything else. Apostrophe apostrophe roared Rider Hood, in a very loud and furious way. Answer me like that, and I won't talk to you at all. Apostrophe, Bradley looked at him. Don't so much as look at me like that, or I won't talk to you at all, apostrophe vociferated Rider Hood. But, instead of talking, I'll bring my hand down upon you with all its weight, apostrophe heavily smiting the table with great force, and smash you. Apostrophe apostrophe, go on, apostrophe said Bradley, after moistening his lips. Oh, I may going on. Don't you fear, but I'll go on full fast enough for you, and fur enough for you, without your telling. Look here, Bradley Headstone, master. You might have split the toter governor to chips and wedges, without my caring, except that I might have come upon you for a glass or so now and then. Else why have to do with you at all? But when you copied my clothes, and when you copied my neck handkerchief, and when you shook blood upon me after you had done the trick, you did what I'll be paid for and paid heavy for. If it come to be throw it upon you, you was to be ready to throw it upon me, was you? Where else but in Plashwater Weir Millock was there a man dressed according as described? Where else but in Plashwater Weir Millock was there a man as had had words with him coming through in his boat? Look at the lock keeper in Plashwater Weir Millock, in them same answering clothes, and with that same answering red neck handkercher, and see whether his clothes happens to be bloody or not. Yes, they do happen to be bloody. Ah, you sly devil. Apostrophe, Bradley, very white, sat looking at him in silence. But who could play at your game, apostrophe said Rider Hood, snapping his fingers at him half a dozen times, and I played it long ago, long before you tried your clumsy hand at it, in days when you hadn't begun croaking your lectures, or what not in your school. I know to a figure how you done it. Where you stole away, I could steal away arter you, and do it no injure than you. I know how you come away from London in your own clothes, and where you changed your clothes, and hid your clothes. I see you with my own eyes take your own clothes from their hiding place among them felled trees, and take a dip in the river, to account for your dressing yourself, to anyone as might come by. I see you rise up Bradley Headstone, master, where you sat down Barchman. I see you pitch your Barchman's bundle into the river. I hooked your Barchman's bundle out of the river. I've got your Barchman's clothes, tore this way and that way with the scuffle, stained green with the grass, and spattered all over with what bust from the blows. I've got them, and I've got you. I don't care a curse for the toter governor, alive or dead, but I care a many curses for my own self. And as you laid your plots agin me, and was a sly devil agin me, I'll be paid for it, I'll be paid for it, I'll be paid for it till I've drained you dry. Bradley looked at the fire, with a working face, and was silent for a while. At last he said, with what seemed an inconsistent composure of voice and feature, "You can't get blood out of a stone, Riderhood. I can get money out of a schoolmaster though. You can't get out of me what is not in me. You can't wrest from me what I have not got. Mine is but a poor calling. You have had more than 2 guineas from me already. Do you know how long it has taken me, allowing for a long and arduous training, to earn such a sum? I don't know, nor I don't care. Yours is a spectable calling. To save your spectability, it's worth your while to pawn every article of clothes you've got, sell every stick in your house, and beg and borrow every penny you can get trusted with. When you've done that and handed over, I'll leave you. Not a four. How do you mean, you'll leave me? I mean as I'll keep you company, wherever you go, when you go away from here. Let the lock take care of itself. I'll take care of you, once I've got you. Bradley again looked at the fire. Eyeing him aside, Riderhood took up his pipe, refilled it, lighted it, and sat smoking. Bradley leaned his elbows on his knees, and his head upon his hands, and looked at the fire with a most intent abstraction. Riderhood, he said, raising himself in his chair, after a long silence, and drawing out his purse and putting it on the table. Say I part with this, which is all the money I have. Say I let you have my watch. Say that every quarter, when I draw my salary, I pay you a certain portion of it. Say nothing of the sort, retorted Riderhood, shaking his head as he smoked. You've got away once, and I won't run the chance again. I've had trouble enough to find you, and shouldn't have found you, if I hadn't seen you slipping along the street overnight, and watched you till you was safe housed. I'll have one settlement with you for good and all. Riderhood, I am a man who has lived a retired life. I have no resources beyond myself. I have absolutely no friends. That's a lie, said Riderhood. You've got one friend as I knows of. One as is good for a savings bank book, or I'm a blue monkey. Bradley's face darkened, and his hand slowly closed on the purse, and drew it back, as he sat listening for what the other should go on to say. I went into the wrong shop, last Thursday, said Riderhood. Found myself among the young ladies, by George. Over the young ladies, I see a Miss Sis. That Miss Sis is sweet enough upon you, master, to sell herself up, to get you out of trouble. Make her do it then. Bradley stared at him so very suddenly that Riderhood, not quite knowing how to take it, affected to be occupied with the encircling smoke from his pipe, fanning it away with his hand, and blowing it off. You spoke to the mistress, did you? Inquired Bradley, with that former composure of voice and feature that seemed inconsistent, and with averted eyes. Poof. Yes, said Riderhood, withdrawing his attention from the smoke. I spoke to her. I didn't say much to her. She was put in a fluster by my dropping in among the young ladies. I never did set up for a ladies man, and she took me into her parlor, to hope as there was nothing wrong. I tells her, oh no, nothing wrong. The master's my worry good friend. But I see how the land laid, and that she was comfortable off. Bradley put the purse in his pocket, grasped his left wrist with his right hand, and sat rigidly contemplating the fire. She couldn't live more handy to you than she does, said Riderhood, and when I goes home with you, as of course I am a-going, I recommend you to clean her out without loss of time. You can marry her, arter you and me have come to a settlement. She's nice looking, and I know you can't be keeping company with no one else, having been so lately disappointed in another quarter. Apostrophe, not one other word did Bradley utter all that night. Not once did he change his attitude, or loosen his hold upon his wrist. Rigid before the fire, as if it were a charmed flame that was turning him old, he sat, with the dark lines deepening in his face, its stare becoming more and more haggard, its surface turning whiter and whiter, as if it were being overspread with ashes, and the very texture and color of his hair degenerating. Not until the late daylight made the window transparent did this decaying statue move. Then it slowly arose, and sat in the window looking out. Riderhood had kept his chair all night. In the earlier part of the night he had muttered twice or thrice that it was bitter cold, or that the fire burnt fast, when he got up to mend it. But, as he could elicit from his companion neither sound nor movement, he had afterwards held his peace. He was making some disorderly preparations for coffee, when Bradley came from the window and put on his outer coat and hat. Hadn't us better have a bit o' breakfast afore we start? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Riderhood. It ain't good to freeze a empty stomach, master. Apostrophe, without a sign, to show that he heard, Bradley walked out of the lockhouse. Catching up from the table a piece of bread, and taking his parchment's bundle under his arm, Riderhood immediately followed him. Bradley turned towards London. Riderhood caught him up, and walked at his side. The two men trudged on, side by side, in silence, full 3 miles. Suddenly, Bradley turned to retrace his course. Instantly, Riderhood turned likewise, and they went back side by side. Bradley re-entered the lockhouse. So did Riderhood. Bradley sat down in the window. Riderhood warmed himself at the fire. After an hour or more, Bradley abruptly got up again, and again went out, but this time turned the other way. Riderhood was close after him, caught him up in a few paces, and walked at his side. This time, as before, when he found his attendant not to be shaken off, Bradley suddenly turned back. This time, as before, Riderhood turned back along with him. But, not this time, as before, did they go into the lockhouse, for Bradley came to a stand on the snow-covered turf by the lock, looking up the river, and down the river. Navigation was impeded by the frost, and the scene was a mere white and yellow desert. Come, come, master, apostrophe urged Riderhood, at his side. This is a dry game. And where's the good of it? You can't get rid of me, except by coming to a settlement. I am a going along with you wherever you go. Apostrophe, without a word of reply, Bradley passed quickly from him over the wooden bridge on the lock gates. Why, there's even less sense in this move than t'other, apostrophe said Riderhood, following. The weir's there, and you'll have to come back, you know. Apostrophe, without taking the least notice, Bradley leaned his body against a post, in a resting attitude, and there rested with his eyes cast down. Being brought here, apostrophe said Riderhood, gruffly, I'll turn it to some use by changing my gates. Apostrophe with a rattle and a rush of water, he then swung to the lock gates that were standing open, before opening the others. So, both sets of gates were, for the moment, closed. You'd better by far be reasonable, Bradley Headstone, master, apostrophe said Riderhood, passing him, or I'll drain you all the drier for it, when we do settle. Ah, would you? Apostrophe, Bradley had caught him round the body. He seemed to be girdled with an iron ring. They were on the brink of the lock, about midway between the two sets of gates. Let go. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Riderhood, or I'll get my knife out, and slash you wherever I can cut you. Let go. Apostrophe, Bradley was drawing to the lock edge. Riderhood was drawing away from it. It was a strong grapple, and a fierce struggle, arm and leg. Bradley got him round, with his back to the lock, and still worked him backward. Let go. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Riderhood. Stop. What are you trying at? You can't drown me. Ain't I told you that the man as has come through drowning can never be drowned? I can't be drowned. Apostrophe, I can be. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Bradley, in a desperate, clenched voice. I am resolved to be. I'll hold you living, and I'll hold you dead. Come down. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Riderhood went over into the smooth pit, backward, and Bradley headstone upon him. When the two were found, lying under the ooze and scum behind one of the rotting gates, Riderhood's hold had relaxed, probably in falling, and his eyes were staring upward. But, he was girdled still with Bradley's iron ring, and the rivets of the iron ring held tight. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.